Good evening. Good evening.
Well, I was reviewing the handbook, and according to the handbook, spring exam number 2 is next week. Remember I told you that the spring semester goes fast, again, because there's graduation, you know, everything is just going to be, pushed together here. But, you know, we'll have to do like we did before, listen. I'm pretty sure they'll give us an announcement. Dean may decide to go ahead and push it back a week. But then if you push that one back, then that means final exam is going to be even closer. Okay, so just pay attention to the announcements. For this class, we will have had 3 classes. If you wanted to prepare, you know to read Book 3, Chapters 2 and 3. That's a little different. Normally, I don't ask you to read. Online students, pay attention. Book 3, read Chapters 2 and 3. If you review all 3 of the quizzes, then you'll be okay. Okay? You'll usually be okay. But, you know, I may go through the chapters this time because he talks about so much of the promises. I may pull something out that maybe wasn't on a quiz. So just pay close attention. Amen? Amen. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to pray tonight. Philippians chapter 2. And if you want to put your hand or your finger in Hebrews 13. Philippians 2. Hebrews 13. Can y'all hear me? Okay, all right. And I wrote this down from the Amplified. It's going to be a little different probably from the current Amplified Bible. Mine is kind of old, but that's okay. I like it. All right. Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verse 13. And since we're all going to pray, we're all going to read, okay? Philippians 2, 13. Everybody's got it? Ready? Let's read. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? It is God. Now, this isn't, like I said, an older version of an Amplified Bible that I found years ago, and I really, really, really liked it, and I want you to listen and pay close attention. Philippians 2:13, Amplified. He starts off, he says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Amen. Pay close attention to not in your own strength, right? Not in your own strength. Turn to Hebrews 13. And I'll tell you what we're going to be praying about. Okay, we're going to read verses 18 through 21. Hebrews 13, 18 through 21. Ready? Let's read. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Now, we know that that word perfect, hold on, means or can mean complete or mature. Amen? Verse 21, let's start from the beginning. Make you in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to be praying tonight about our knowing and doing the will of God. Amen. See, it's one thing to know it, but you got to do it. You know, some people know it, but they don't do it. The other thing is that a lot of times, or not a lot of times, but sometimes we're doing things and we don't know it's the will of God. Amen. So we're going to be praying to know and to do the will of God. It is so important, online students. We need you to join in with us, and we want you to pray as we are praying. Amen. Let's stand up. You can do what you can sit. You could, as we're praying, you can sit, you could kneel, you could stand, whatever you want to do. Amen. Whatever you're led to do. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you, Lord God, all honor, all glory, all praise, all blessing, all thanksgiving. We're so thankful, Father God, so thankful, Lord God, that it is you who give us, Lord God, the will to do of your good pleasure. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge you. We invite you. We welcome you. We ask you in the name of Jesus to help us. Help us to pray concerning knowing and doing the will of our Father. We thank you. Mama baba kashin derebe dehaya. Momo mama monderebe derebe kishin derebe deha. Alalala mahalala kandara mahi, Lord God. Yeah, baba baba kashandara bakaya, you hear. Anora mama mama manderebe deya. Alalala makashandara bakaya, you hear. Mama anderebe deya, you hold you. Alalala bakashandara bakahaya. Alalala mahandarebe derebe kishin derebe de. Alalala mahalala kandara mayasin darabakaha. Mama manda de bedeya. Alalala makashanda da bakaya ye hear. Alalala bokoshanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Alalanda de menene. Alalala bakashanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Amama baba banda de bedeya bokoshanda da bakaya ye hear. Alalala mahaha. Alalala makashanda da bakaha. Ede, Lord God. Hallelujah. Shololo bokoshene. Alalala makanda da mahi hear. Alalala makoshanda da bakaya ye hear. It's been given to us, Lord God, to know the mysteries, Father. Alalala bakashanda da bakaha. Alalala mahia. Alalala makashanda da bakaha. Amama mama mama mande de 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 de. Alalala bakishanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Alalala makashanda da bakaya. Alalala bakishanda de 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 bokoshanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Thank you for opening our eyes, Lord. Alalala mahashanda da bakaha. Alalala makinga rebe de boko shende rebe deya. Alalala mahashanda rabakaha. Ama mama mande rebe de. Alalala bakashanda rabakaya ye hear, Lord. Thank you for opening our ears, Lord. Alalala mahi here. E de. O rababa baba bakashanda rabakaha. E de. O rababa baba bakashanda rabakaha, Lord God. Alalala mahaya. Ira mumoho shunda rebe deya. Alalala makashanda rabakaha. Alalala mahanda debe de boko shonda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Knowing, hallelujah, and doing, Lord. Alalala makashi here. Alalala makashanda da badaha. Alalala makishende debe de boko shanda da bakaya. Alalala makanda debe deha. Alalala makashanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for giving us understanding, Lord. Alalala mahi here. Alalala bakashanda da bakaha. Ama baba baba banda debe de boko shanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Alalala mahaha. Alalala makashanda da bakaya ye hear. De. Alalala makashanda da bakaha. Mama mama manda de. Mama 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 manda de. Alalala mahi here. Alalala makashanda da bakaya ye hear, Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. We can know. Hallelujah. We thank you that we can know. Hallelujah. Shololo boko shende debe de. Ere de boko shanda rabakaha. Ama mama mande debe de. Alalala makashia. Ora baba baba bakashakanda rabakaya ye hear, Lord God. And to do, Lord. Ora bahaha. Alalala makashanda rabakaha. Alalenda debe de. Alalala bakashanda rabakaya, Lord. Not in our own strength, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. But the strength. Hallelujah, which the Holy Ghost supplies, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my, it's not by might. Hallelujah. It's not by power, but it's by your spirit, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord God. Oh, Rababa Hashihia. No, 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 Boko Shende de Bede. Elele Bakanda de Bedea. Oro do donda de Beki here, they may say. Share de de de. Share de de de. Share de de de, Lord. Oh, Ramaha. Ala la la Bakashanda Rabakahaya. Ala la la Manda de Bede, Boko Shende de Bede. Ala la la Landa de Bedea. Ala la la Bakashaha. Ala la 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 Kanda Mayasin de Rabakaya. Ala la la Bakashanda Rabakaya. You heal, Lord God. We heal, Lord. Glory to God, we yield. Ala la la mahaha. Ala la la makashanda rabakaya ye heal, oh God, your will. Ala la la makashanda rabakaya ye hear your purpose. Glory to God, your plan. Hallelujah, your will, Lord God. Ala la la mahaha. Ala da 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 boko shanda rabakaya. Ala la la man da 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 boko she hear. We're so thankful. Glory to God, so grateful. Ala la la mahashanda rabakahaya. Oh la la, he heal, Lord God. Oh la 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 la, he heal, Lord God. Oh la la la, boho shanda rabakaha. Mama manda rebedea. Ala la la makashanda rabakaya, you heal. Lord God. Ala la la makashanda rabakaha. Anananda rebedea. Ala la la makishahaya. Ala la la makashihaya. Oh la 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 mokonda rebedea makinda rebehaya. Ala la la mahashanda rabakaha. Ala la la makanda rabakihaya. Elele boko shanda rabakaya. Ala landa rebedea. Ala la la mahashanda rabakaya. You hear, Lord God. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ala la la bahaha. Anore me sinde rebedea. Anore me sinde rebedea, Lord God. Ala la la mahashanda rabakaha. Ala la 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 kanda ramayasi. Ere rebede. Ala la la makashi here. Ala la la makonda rabakahaya. Ala la la mahire me sende rebede. Oh my, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Ala la la mahashanda rabakaha. Mama baba baba bande rebede rebo koshende rebede ya. Ere rebede. Oh la 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 mahashanda rabakaha. Ala la la makinde rebede ya. Ala la la mahashanda rabakaha. Ama baba bande rebede rebe kende rebede rebo koshanda rabakaya ye here. Oh my, we're so thankful. Glory to God. We're so thankful. Hallelujah. So grateful, Lord. Lord, we appreciate it, Lord God. All your goodness, Lord. All your grace, Lord. All your love, Lord. All your mercy, Lord. All that you're saying, Lord. All that you're doing, Lord. Thank you. Oh, my Shekai. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. Thank you. Ala la la ma ha ha. Ah ha ha ha. Yeah, de. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Knowing and doing, ha, 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 the will of the Father. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Those of you who got in a few minutes late, just wanted to remind you that according to your handbook, exam number 2 is scheduled for next week. Pay attention to the announcements. I'm pretty sure Dean will let you know tomorrow night whether or not he's going to push you back a week. If not, if it is next week, then you are responsible for studying, reading and studying Book 3, Chapters 2 and 3. If you pay close attention to the 3 after tonight, it'll be 3 practices or quizzes, then you'll probably be okay. Amen. Amen. All right, so we got that. Last week we continued with prayer and the promises of God, and what our author was doing, he was giving us examples of promises that were made to individuals in the Bible and how prayer was involved with those promises. I was just led, we're going to look at one passage that the author doesn't talk about, but it does relate to the promise, amen, or a promise. And I don't know, this is the second week, and I said, oh no, I think we better read it. We better read it. And I think the last, we were in Hebrews, right? Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And it's a promise. It's a promise to us and for us. And I just thought it was just so so important. Just, we're not going to just teach on the promise and not read this. Amen? Amen. All right. I'll read. You can just follow me. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You see the promise? Enter into his rest. Amen. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Remember that? God's word, God's spirit, and my faith. Remember? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's a promise. Amen. Can you see it? Yes. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And then we get to this glorious 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, this is a verse that we here at Word of Life are very familiar with, because we have been praying Hebrews 4 and 12 for several weeks now. And when we pray, as instructed by Apostle, you know, he was showing us that this verse shows us that the Word of God is the only, and I'm going to use the word entity, but y'all know what I mean, that can separate man, spirit, soul, and body. And that, you know, it separates us. It separates us. And then as we pray, we go over to Romans 12, and we're not, I mean Romans 8, and we're not going to go there, which is the life chapter. And he says that's where we put back together. You know, this one separates, and then the other one puts back together. But what I wanted you to see is that this promise of rest, and when we talk about faith and the promise and prayer, there should be a rest. There should be no worry. There should be no anxiety when you go in to pray. Amen. There should be a rest. And when you look at the end of that chapter, this is a verse that we use all the time in prayer. Let us therefore, you know, he said all of this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Talking about in prayer. Amen. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just wanted you to see that, because it was talking about the promise and the promise of rest. Amen. Last time we met, I think we had just finished talking about, we looked at Jeremiah and the prophecy about the children of Israel. After 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, God said, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. And we looked at how Jeremiah prophesied, but it was Daniel's prayer, according to our author, who helped to bring this promise into being. Now, one of the things that we did not do, we did not look at the scriptures. It was over in Daniel chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 2. I'll see if I'm going to read it or if you're going to read. Daniel 9. I like for y'all to get involved. Amen. It's not just me. It's all of us. We in this together. Hallelujah. All right, Daniel 9. And let's see here. He says, as the time of the captivity was expiring, we're talking about almost 70 years up, Daniel set himself in mighty prayer in order that the promise should be fulfilled and the captivity be brought to an end. So in Daniel 9, verses 2 and 3, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. See, he went back. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God. You see that? Talking about in prayer. Amen. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. If you go down to, let's see, verse 17. This is what he starts to pray. I don't know if we're going to read it all because I have 17 through 23. But I want to let you see how Daniel prayed. He says, now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Not that we've done anything right, but because you're merciful. Amen. That's why we're praying. O Lord, hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, okay, this is important, you know, in prayer, the angel comes to him, amen? And yeah, while I was speaking, and see, that's what's going to be happening to us. You know, it's not going, I mean, you know, because we think somebody going to appear before us with some wings. No. Amen. But we're going to begin to hear words in our spirit, words of encouragement, words of exhortation. And you're going to have those ears to hear. Amen. Amen. He says, yea, verse 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, look at that. When you first started praying, amen. When you, and isn't that encouragement? when you first started praying. He says, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment, oh my God, came forth. Oh my. And I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Amen. Now you can read on if you want. You know, he's going to tell him, you know, a whole lot. But it's just to show you Daniel's prayer, and while he is praying, he hears the angel, or the angel comes, and the angel is speaking to him, and he's given him insight into some mysteries. Amen? And so we should be expecting. That's what the apostle is telling us. It's been given to us to know the mysteries. We should be given insight into the mysteries. Amen? Amen. All right. So I wanted to look at that since that's what our author had referred to. And he said, it was God's promise by Jeremiah and Daniel's praying, as we saw, that broke the chains of Babylonian captivity, that set Israel free and brought God's ancient people back to their native land. The promise and prayer went together to carry out God's purpose and to execute God's plan. Now, I have in parentheses here, God's promises are still present today. We must pray to carry out God's purpose and execute God's plan. Amen. That's what we were doing tonight, right? Amen. To know and to do. Then another example the author gives, Mr. Bounds, gives us, it is the prayer of the priest Zechariah. You know, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. He was a priest, and she was actually the cousin, as the Bible says, of Mary, right? When you look over in Luke 1, you know, when they're talking about, well, they talk about Zacharias and Elizabeth before they talk about Mary over in Luke 1. The author says that the angel said to Zacharias, the priest, thy prayer is heard. That's over in Luke 1 and 13. And you can read, you know, the whole context of it in your own time. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. See, and thy wife Elizabeth, here goes the promise, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Amen? I mean, you know, here's the promise. Now remember, Elizabeth was barren. You know, she could not have any children. And in this passage, it says that Zacharias and Elizabeth were well stricken in years. Amen. Now, Mr. Bounds, he wasn't very kind to her. He talked about a withered wound. You know, that's what he said. That's what he said, a withered wound. He said, it was then that the word of the Lord, as spoken by the prophets, see, because it had been prophesied that there would be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Amen. So John was the forerunner. He said it had been prophesied or spoken by the prophets, and the prayers of the old priest and his wife, talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, brought John the Baptist into the withered womb and into the childless home of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And, you know, you can read that in Luke chapter 1. Like I said, the first part, it talks about them, and then the second part, it talks about Mary and the angel coming to her and telling her that she was going to have a baby. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's another promise that our author gives us. And then he also shares with us God's promise to Paul. Acts 26. Now, I'm not going to be asking y'all all of these, you know, I might ask you general questions, but I'm not going to say, where did he promise Paul? I'm not going to tell you that. And we know his name back then was Saul, right? His promise. Acts 26. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. I think that's what I want. Let's see. 26. Oh, okay. I might need to go up. I'll go up to 14. And now, you know, he's Saul, and he's going to persecute the church. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise, pay attention, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, amen, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Amen. That was a mouthful, huh? I mean, you know, you tell them that, you know, delivering you from the people. Now, I put promise and assignment. God is making a promise, and he's giving him an assignment. Amen. Delivering him from the people. That's what he was saying that he wanted them to do. And from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. How did Paul make this promise efficient? The author asks. How did he make the promise real? He says he did it by asking his brethren at Rome to pray. And we've looked at this verse before. To pray according to Romans 15 and 30. We looked at it. I've forgotten what was the context, but we've looked at this verse before. 15 and 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me. Amen. Amen. With me in your prayers to God for me. And again, here he goes, verse 31, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Amen. Amen. Their prayers, united with his prayer, were to secure the deliverance, to secure his deliverance and secure his safety, and were also to make the apostolic promise, amen, amen, vital, and cause it to be fully realized. So, you know, here is the promise and the assignment to Saul that we now know as Paul. Amen. The author says all is to be sanctified and realized by the word of God and prayer. Remember, we always say you can't just have the promise, right? You got to have the promise and prayer. And you can't have just prayer. You got to base it on the promise or on the word of God. And then the author talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we see this over in Acts chapter 1. Oh, I hear some pages turning. I hear some pages. Somebody got a Bible. Somebody got a Bible. Okay. In Acts chapter 1. I'll start at verse 2. And it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, you see here, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. See, the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Amen. So Mr. Bounds, he talks a lot about this. He says, the promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples was in a very marked way the promise of the Father. But it was only realized after many days of continued and persistent praying. But as a condition of receiving that power of the Holy Spirit, they got instructions. Amen. They got instructions. And the instructions were, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He says, prayer sealed it to glorious results. The promise and the prayer went together. Amen. Now just think about what could have happened had they not tarried. And I'm pretty sure some of them didn't. You know, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. Somebody said, I'm going home. I'm going home. I've been here. You know, I saw all of this. It's time for me to go. But, you know, we find that there were a group that they stayed there. I think in one place they said, 120? I like it. Lord, Mr. Bound talked about women. Y'all going to hear this. You know, he never talked about women. But somewhere in here, it's in my notes, somewhere, he talked about women. He went on to say, the sending of the Holy Spirit was not fulfilled only, and I'm pretty sure this is what he means, by Jesus' enthronement. You know, when Jesus, he died and he took the throne, amen, seated. He said that's not the only reason that God sent the Holy Spirit. He says, nor by the promise only, not just because God said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Nor by the fact that the prophet Joel had foretold. That's in Joel chapter 2. Neither was it that the Spirit's coming was the only hope God's cause, hope of God's cause in the world. He says all these all-powerful reasons were not the immediate operative cause of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's like, what? Well, what was the reason? He says the solution is found first in the attitude of the disciples. Amen. The answer is found in the fact that the disciples, there it is, with the women, Mr. Bound said that, with the women, spent several days in that upper room in earnest, specific, and continued prayer. It was prayer that brought to pass the famous day of Pentecost. Now, we all know that, huh? Yeah. Prayer can bring a Pentecost in this day. Wow. If there is the same kind of praying. For the promise has not been exhausted, or has not exhausted its power and its vitality. It still holds good for the present day disciples. Amen. Look at Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? One accord. Yes, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Now, and you know, we can't read that without looking back at Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power. Amen. The whole point of that was power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto to the uttermost part of the earth. This is in red in this Bible. That's what Jesus said. Amen. So Jesus was making them also, the promise. He had already said, tarry until you be endued. You know, don't go nowhere. Stay here. And then, you know, he says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And these men and the women were obedient. They tarried, but they just wasn't sitting around waiting. You know, these people were praying. They were expecting, amen, that what God said was going to happen, that it was going to happen. And in Acts 2, 1 through 4, we see that it did happen. Amen? Amen. Amen. Then he gives us what I call Paul's or Saul's conversion. Mr. Brown talks a lot about pardon. Let's go ahead. Let's look at it. And then I'll tell you what I wanted to tell you. He says, the promise of pardon and peace was the basis of the prayers of Saul of Tarsus. When the Lord told Ananias, in order to allay his fears, yeah, you know, they told Ananias, says, this man Paul is seeking you. Go. You know, say, wait a minute here. I mean, I heard this man killing Christians. You know, he was a little fearful there. Let's see where, Acts chapter 9. And again, you know, Mr. Bounds only refers to a lot of these verses, but I wanted to look at them so that we can get the context of what was being said. Acts 9, I have verse 11 through 18. And the Lord, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, look at here, he prayed. Okay, Mr. Bound makes a point of that, saying he prayed. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many that this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Amen? Amen. So that was a conversion, and, you know, even though Ananias was a little fearful there, you know, the Lord said, don't worry about it. Behold, he prayeth. Amen? Isaiah told how the promise of mercy and abundant pardon was tied up with seeking God and calling upon him. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, you know, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Amen. Somehow, you know, I really want to tell y'all this. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Mr. Bound says prayer always brings forgiveness to the seeking soul. Amen. Prayer always brings forgiveness to the seeking soul. The praying sinner receives mercy because his prayer is grounded on the promise of pardon made by him, whose right it is, talking about God, to pardon guilty sinners. The penitent seeker after God obtains mercy because there is a definite promise of mercy to those who seek the Lord in repentance and faith. While salvation is promised to him who believes, I need you to listen. While salvation is promised to him who believes, the believing sinner is always a praying sinner. Amen. God has no promise of pardon for a prayerless sinner, just as he has no promise for the prayerless profession, and he says, the author says, a religion. I came up in a time where individuals would just go up and give the preacher their hand. I never heard them pray a prayer. That's not to say that they didn't pray a prayer, but some of them, you know, they didn't. That's what they, and that was just a phase in the church that I was in. As a result, you know, I believe that we had a lot of church members who weren't really saved. They had never prayed a prayer of salvation. And this is why it's so important. You know, we are being challenged to witness more right now. There are people in church who are not saved. There are people in churches who do not have assurance of their salvation. You know, they may have been saved, but because no one ever went to the Word of God and showed them the promise. Amen. And, you know, the one that we use, this is not the only one, mostly is over in Romans chapter 10. And I wanted to go over that, and I wanted to remind you about witnessing and the importance of having the individuals pray. You know, as Christians, you can lead them in prayer. Amen. You don't have to bring them to church to get saved. You can get them saved and then bring them to church, because that's what's needed. Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee." See that? "Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." Verse 9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." See that? Promise, promise, promise. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So you show this, you know, to an unsaved person, or to a person who's not sure of their salvation. And they say, well, you know, and you can tell them, "I've done this." I say, "Well, you know, if you're not sure, let's just pray." You know, and we pray according to Romans 8, 9 and 10. And I, you know, I like the way Apostle said it one time, you know, that some people said, "Well, you know, well, if you're already saved, don't worry about it. You can't get saved again." Amen. Amen. We just coming in agreement. You know, that's just to put them at ease, because, you know, some people tell you, "Well, I've been baptized." You know, so, well, yeah, you were water baptized, but were you baptized into the body of Christ? You know, did the Holy Spirit do a work in you? And, you know, we have to help people to understand that. Like I said, a lot of them, they just went up and gave their hand. This is what I saw personally. This is not anything anybody told me. You know, they just went up and they shook the preacher's hand. And they never, you know, when I came here, they never prayed the prayer of salvation. And it's like, what? You know, they never did. That's not to say that some of them didn't go back. You know, some of them may have gone back, and, you know, the Holy Ghost is there to help us. Amen? Amen. He says, "Give the sinner to pray according to the divine promise, and he then is near to the kingdom of God." He says, "How large are the promises made to the saint? How great the promises given to poor, hungry-hearted, lost sinners, ruined by the fall. Prayer has arms sufficient to encompass them all and to prove them. Amen. By prayer. Amen. Now, this is going to conclude our lesson on prayer and the promise. I know y'all glad. Yeah, I know y'all glad. I tell you, Mr. Bounds, I don't know if this was a song or if this was just a poem, but it's at the end of your chapter. He says, the Lord hath promised good to me. It was good words. The Lord hath promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Y'all see that? I mean, you know, those people who are looking in the book. Amen. All right. Pay attention to your announcements so that we will know whether or not exam two is next week as scheduled or whether it's going to be pushed back. Amen. Be blessed.